It's 5 p.m. Woodway time, so I will call this order, this meeting to order. Item number two on the agenda is public comment. The Planning and Zoning Commission invites citizens to address the commission on any matter, including items on the agenda, except public hearings that are included on the agenda. Comments related to public hearings will be heard when the specific hearing starts. Citizen comments are limited to 3 minutes unless otherwise required by law. The commission is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item not listed on the agenda. Would anybody like to speak today? Seeing none, we will move on to item number three, staff presentation for training on rules of order and open meetings, code of ethics for elected and appointed officials, and Planning and Zoning Commission purposes and duties.
Hello.
Can you pull up? Good afternoon. Some of you know me, some of you don't. For those who do not, my name is Keisha Redden. I am the city secretary for the city of Woodway. A little bit about what qualifies me both to be the city secretary and be here before you today, giving this little bit of a training to what is a wonderful board who handles their business well. And we're very fortunate to have you. I am from this area. I've grown up in this area all my life. My grandparents built a home here in Woodway on the corner of Gatecrest in the 1970s and built two businesses in this community before I was ever even born, one of which still remains today. Their original concrete plant is now Lau Precasting. Western American Concrete was the original name. That's why we have Western American. I'm proud to have been a part of this community. It's part of the reason why I love working here and am committed to making sure we're doing the best job possible. I have served the city for 17 and a half years. I started in January of 2009. I have loved every minute of it. I moved up to City Hall 2 years ago. Prior to that, I spent the first 15 and a half years down the hill in the Community Services and Development Department. I was started out as the administrative assistant over permitting. So I have literally dealt with this commission every day of my existence here at the City of Woodway. I eventually became a International Code Council certified permit specialist and plan reviewer. And so for a while I was doing all of the permitting and development plan review for the city. So most of what you saw came through me at some point. So kind of gives me some unique perspective in the city secretary's office, which is fantastic. Now I am the one that is compiling and sending you all of your agenda information and keeping us on track in terms of our records. So when city council gave a mandate that they wanted our boards and commissions to be receiving better training, I was kind of the person that was the best equipped to come before you and do that. That mandate really fulfills, as the slide says, their directive that we want to elevate and standardize the board and the commission training. You guys handle everything wonderfully. We just want to make sure everybody's getting the same information. It's kind of a vital review of some things like the Open Meetings Act, Public Information Act, our Code of Ethics, things that you don't necessarily cover during your regular planning and zoning business. And also just because we want to come before you and say we're so grateful to you for taking the time to be here. What you do is incredibly important, and we want you to know that we want to invest back into that effort by giving you vital information that's important to you doing the best job you can. So to get started, a little bit about how we got here specifically. What you see there is an actual clip of the actual news article from when the city became a home rule city in 1973. But you as a commission were originally created by ordinance on January 9th, 1967. So you actually predate Woodway being a home rule city. That's how important they felt that planning and zoning was. The city came about in 1955, and you were born in 1967. And then in 1973, upon adoption of the charter, the commission was elevated to a permanent mandated charter body. That means that the city council cannot do away with you. They have to have voter approval. which means that you're incredibly important. So important, in fact, that the Texas Local Government Code requires that we have you. As a home rule city that does zoning, exercises zoning authority, we are required to have a zoning commission. What you are is actually a hybrid of two separate commissions that have two separate purposes. That's for efficiency. But to give you a little bit of a background on that, a planning commission is typically your future-oriented, your visionary, your people that go over kind of the future land use plans and the city's master plan and some of the other things that come before you. Subdivision planning kind of comes under this purview. You're looking at the long-term goals of the city. What do we want it to look like in 20 years? That's usually what a planning commission does. A zoning commission, which is what we are required by law to have, is regulatory and site-specific. It says that because we tell people what they can and cannot do, we have to have a board that focuses on administrating and enforcing the city's current zoning ordinance, and it asks whether or not that particular use is appropriate for that location under our adopted policies. Typically, these are the ones that are going to require public hearings. You're going to be making recommendations to council, things of that nature. The law allows us to combine those two, which is how we've wound up here today, where you have two very important roles combined under one very, very important commission. So we're glad to have you. It allows us to be consistent, be efficient, and make better decisions. As I said, you were established in 1967 by ordinance, but under 1973, you became a charter-mandated commission. The charter establishes your permanent existence. It establishes the composition of the board itself, and it grants kind of your broader authority. As the charter is kind of our constitution, it grants you that constitutional level status. The only other board that is also listed there is the Board of Adjustments. It means that, again, you cannot be abolished by a simple council ordinance. They have to take it to the voters if they want to change anything about what is in that charter. In our Code of Ordinances, there is a whole separate listing of other duties as may be assigned. These things come and go as we change the ordinances, but generally, in Chapter 13, it dictates how this commission is going to operate. It establishes your procedural rules, our application deadlines, public hearing requirements, and that kind of goes throughout the Code of Ordinances, really, because you guys touch every aspect of the city in a way that a lot of commissions do not. So that organization, as you already know, you consist of not more than 9 voting members. Technically, your city manager and the chairperson of the Board of Adjustments are also listed as what are called ex officio members. They're non-voting, but if they were to attend these meetings, they could technically participate in your discussion. They cannot vote, but they can participate in your board's discussion in a way that the normal public cannot. And in a way, sort of, that staff does as needed. Those two bodies are allowed to do that. Your qualifications for service, which, again, you should already know, you must be a resident, you must be a taxpayer, you must be a qualified voter, and you must own real property within the city limits. You know your terms. Three-year terms is typical. If you take a year off, you can come back most of the time. And we'd be happy to have anyone that knows what they're doing on this board. It's wonderful to have you. Effective service year starts on June 1st. So you serve June 1st to May 31st in accordance with what your meeting schedule is. The vacancies on this commission are filled by city council appointment for the remainder of the expired term. It's pretty simple. Normally, we don't really have vacancies on this board. It's one of the few that we do not. But if they needed to appoint someone, they could. You can be removed by the city council, but only after a public hearing and a cause assigned in writing. There are some things that we put in place with the Code of Ethics and some things like that that work how we can remove people if need be. Don't anticipate any of that, obviously. And as you, of course, know, you serve without compensation because you're very wonderful, involved members of your community. We're so grateful for that. In the Code of Ordinance, it dictates that you elect a chairperson and a vice chairperson. It doesn't specify secretary, though most boards tend to elect one. But per our Code of Ordinances, you must have a chair and a vice chair at all times. And historically, you will utilize Robert's Rules of Order, which is what City Council uses, and our Code of Ethics to get by through your procedural information. One area of this that I really wanted to highlight, or a couple areas that I really wanted to highlight, are some things that I found in the ordinance. One is that, obviously you know what a quorum is. We're a nine-member board, a quorum would be five. But where this is important is in the voting. In our Code of Ordinances, it says that items that don't require a public hearing require only a simple majority vote of those present, which is great. But for you, specifically as a body, this is important to note that for items that do require a public hearing, it's not a majority of the members present. It is an absolute majority of the members on the board. So if you're down to a quorum one night and you're voting on something, if it's not unanimous, it's not approved. That's one of the key things to remember on this board because it's unique to this board. Other boards do not have that issue. They can vote based on who's present as far as majority. So that's only for items requiring a public hearing. and if for some reason we do not abide by that, then it obviously creates procedural issues down the line we do not want to deal with. So keep that in mind. When you're voting, or more specifically to you, Mr. Laudamy, keep that in mind when you're voting. The other thing I wanted to bring up about the importance of this is that P&Z has been a proving ground for people in this city that wanted to serve for a very long time. Two people specifically that I wanted to reference, the late Mayor Don Baker, for whom the City Council Chamber is named, and the late Carlene Bright, for whom the Arboretum is named. Both went on to serve on City Council, but they started here on the Planning and Zoning Commission and spent a long time here cutting their teeth and learning everything they could about Woodway and then moving to City Council. So this board and your knowledge of the community and the things that you gain from this board become kind of the proving ground by which we later develop City Council members, and that's important to note. All right, so now we're kind of getting into the nitty-gritty, but the basics are in the charter, there are some specific things that are laid out for you. These are the things that cannot be changed unless it's taken to an election and a vote. Specifically, the Planning and Zoning Commission shall be responsible to and act as an advisory body to the council and shall recommend a city plan for the physical development of the city and with amendments thereto. So you're kind of the overseer of the city's master plan, which we from time to time revisit. Generally the rule I think is about every 10 years we need to revisit it, and that will come through your world when we do that. You will recommend to the council approval or disapproval of proposed changes in the zoning plan. So we have an entire appendix related to zoning. We have a map that is governed in Stephen's world over there related to zoning. That will come through your world. That is a charter guaranteed power. Exercise control over platting or subdividing land within the corporate limits of the city and outside said corporate limits to the extent authorized by law. We obviously don't have ETJA at this point, but that falls under your purview per the charter. They cannot take that away from you without a vote. One other interesting thing, in case y'all weren't aware of it, you submit annually to the city manager not less than 90 days prior to the beginning of the budget year a list of recommended capital improvements, which, in the opinion of the commission, are necessary or desirable during the forthcoming five-year period. So the charter says that you get to weigh in on ideas about capital improvements. Now, you're not voting specifically for them, but you get to vote on recommendations. You get to let Stephen and Mitch know what you think is important. and what needs to be taken to council in their budget. You get to make a list that gives them those ideas. And that is also a charter guaranteed power to be aware of. And then, of course, the catch-all have all other duties and responsibilities given it by law, or as we say here as staff, other duties as may be assigned. Then within the ordinance, your duties are scattered throughout the ordinance. I'm not going to go line by line on all these. I'll cover a couple of them, but they're scattered throughout because, like I said, you affect every aspect of physical development in the city. You guys have a lot of say-so and a lot of power. Obviously, with great power comes great responsibility. That's why we put such capable people in this room. In the zoning appendix is where you're located is in the zoning appendix and chapter 17, where we're regulating the districts, what can go in those districts, you know, what people can do in their homes or at their homes, preliminary and final plats, things of that nature. And the guys down the hill have all of the engineering standards and things like that that you can see and look at that technically you're involved in. So, like I said, you're scattered kind of throughout the ordinance, but those two areas, if you're ever just really interested in looking up the ordinances and seeing what they say, focus on those two areas. That tells you a whole lot about what you do. This one you already know about, I'm sure, because I'm sure the guys reference it when they come in here for things sometimes. The one thing that you definitely have a shot clock mandated by the state on is the plats. That's changed throughout the years since I've been here, I know. But essentially, you need to act on them within 30 days or they will be deemed approved. Now, that doesn't necessarily fall on you. That's where it falls on staff to get it before you in a timely manner. But it's just something to be aware of, that staff works very hard to get everything to you in a manner that allows us to give you the information you need and give you the time to act on it. That's why all of these deadlines are generally really important. These timelines, however, are mandated within our code of ordinances. We put these deadlines on ourselves. The zoning changes, planned unit development, we put in the ordinance 100-day deadline. That can be changed if it's problematic. It can be dealt with. It is not a legal requirement, but within our code of ordinances, there are some deadlines that staff abides by to get you information. And again, we reference the giving them information 90 days before the budget year. All right, now to the really important stuff that I really came here to say to everybody is about open meetings and public information. Transparency and ethics are obviously the absolute basis of public trust. As a commission, you operate the gold standard of Texas governance laws, which is the Texas Open Meetings Act. One of the things it requires is for me to post meetings. It says 72 hours. That recently changed. It's now 3 business days. It does not include the day I post it. It does not include the meeting day. But I have to post at least 3 business days prior to a meeting to make sure that the public has ample time to review an agenda and to know what's on it, to ask questions, the things that they need to do, and attend the meeting if they so choose. One of the important things is, as our city attorney says, that on the agenda, a reasonable person, a person that's never been before here in Woodway, that's jogging down the road on the bike lane, should be able to walk up to that posted door out there and read the agenda and know what you're going to be talking about. So if it seems like your agenda has a whole lot of words on it, that's why. We're posting in accordance with the law, and we're trying to make sure that we make that reasonable person caveat and make sure that we get everything posted as it should be posted so that we don't run into any problems. With this board, that's rather easy. A lot of that language is pretty pre-governed. But with other boards, sometimes it's a little hairy trying to make sure that we cover everything we need to cover. One of the other things that falls under this, and it's something that you may hear in different areas, the no discussion, deliberation, or action on items that are not specifically covered on the agenda, that's directly a result of this act. The reason that we don't talk off-topic is because we're not having an open meeting truly if we're talking about things that are not posted on the agenda. And when we're not having an open meeting, then we're in violation of the law. You as a commission, you as an individual, and me and the staff are in violation of the law for allowing that to continue. So it's very important that when we're discussing, we stick to the agenda. Like I said, most of the time this is not an issue, certainly probably not an issue in this room, but just something to be aware of, that that's not just us wanting to stay on topic and get through at the end of the day. It's legitimately something that can get us in serious trouble and negate all of the hard work that you do. And we certainly do not want that. Another thing that's important is you are required as a board, as an individual on this board, to take training through the Attorney General's office. These are videos. They're very simple. I sent them out in May, June. It should have come to your city issued email. If you did not get it or you have not taken it, please just let me know. I'll send it to you again. Okay, not a problem. I'll send them out again. You watch the video. It gives you like a little code or something you put in. You get the certificate. You send it to me. It's very simple, but you technically are required to take it within the first 90 days after your appointment. And we need to make sure that we get everybody on that, since it is, as I said, a state-mandated requirement. It's because you hold such highly influential power here in the city, and we want to make sure that you're doing everything correctly, and so does the state. Again, I'll send that out again tomorrow and make sure that everyone got it. Areas of this just to be aware of. One of the main things we run into here is the reply all trap. When I send you stuff, I always send it all separately, or I send it blind copy, so there's no possibility you can hit reply all. But just be aware, if you get an email from someone and it has more than a quorum of you on there, please do not hit reply all. Please just hit reply, because technically that becomes a quorum and that becomes problematic. Another thing is the walking quorum. Whether it is one or two of you getting together and having a conversation, and then somebody having a conversation with somebody else, the daisy chain type effect, you don't have to be all together in the room at the same time for it to be a quorum. If you are talking to someone and then that person takes that information, goes to the next person, and you wind up with a quorum that way, that is still a walking quorum. It is still a violation of this Open Meetings Act. It can result in misdemeanor charges. It can result in fines. It can result in jail time. It can result in voiding your decisions. And it can result in lawsuits. It creates a huge amount of problems. Please, please, please do not do this. Keep the discussions in the room to the extent that that is possible. And don't send emails to everybody at one time. Public Information Act. What is a record? Well, the simple answer to that, honestly, is everything that has to do with city is a record. The notes that you take today, as you discuss things, if you take them, they are a record technically, whether you take them with you or not. You become a temporary custodian of those records. So any document, any email, any text message, any social media message created, received, or maintained in connection with the transaction of official city business is a record. Yes, this applies to personal devices. This is part of the reason why you have city-issued iPads and city-issued emails. Your personal device, if you're discussing city business on it, your personal social media, if you're discussing city business on it, can be subpoenaed for a case. It can be requested for Public Information Act. Then I will have to ask you for that information, and you will be required to provide it for me or be subject to lawsuits. And other issues. So we do not want that. Best way to do that, like I said, is you have a tablet, you have a city issued email. If for any reason either of those is not working, we have an IT staff. We will make that happen. But keep the best thing to do for you guys, keep city business on your city stuff, personal business on your personal stuff, and then I can't come scrolling through your social media page and find out what you've been up to while I'm looking for city stuff. Makes your life a whole lot easier. and protect your personal information. I have to produce that information or produce a good reason why I haven't produced that information within 10 days. If I have to ask for an exception from the Attorney General's office, I have to do that within 10 days. But the thing about it is, if you give me something or you tell me that you don't think that something applies, in order to get that exception, I still have to provide it to the Attorney General's office. So somebody's still going to see it, even if you don't necessarily think they should, because that's the only way to get an exception. The easy stuff of Robert's Rules of Order, because you guys know what you're doing in here, the only thing I'm going to request just for clarity is that you state motions clearly. I know it's very easy sometimes to get into the so moved mentality or the I make a motion mentality and stop right there. Please go ahead and state the full motion out loud so that we have it on the recording, so that Amy gets what she needs for the minutes, and so that everybody's clear on exactly what we're voting on. And the other thing is make affirmative motions and not negative motions, in that I move that we approve, I move that we deny, I move that we move to do something, not to not do something. Because when you move to not do something and then you start getting double negatives, and it makes it very confusing, both for the people that are fixing to vote for whatever you're moving for the people that are listening to the recordings. We just want to make sure that everything is crystal clear and we're being as transparent as we possibly can. So, like I said, mentally just vote to do something, not to not do something. Obviously, like I said, it's all about clarity. For your fellow members, we need to know exactly what your yes means and exactly what your no means. So we don't want anybody voting yes or no and then later saying they didn't understand what they were voting for. For city council, that means that anything that's sent up to them, they have a clear directive from you. They know exactly what your recommendation is. For staff, it makes life a lot easier because they know exactly what you're telling them to do. There's nothing worse as a staff member, personal experience, than trying to decipher intent. The intent of the code is one of the worst, most horrible phrases staff members hear ever in city government. and to try and decipher intent is very frustrating. So make your intent clear. And then obviously the public, whether they're here in the audience, whether it's the person making the application, or whether it's somebody listening down the road, or if you are one day, 30 years from now, looking through the books of minutes that I have, reading through and seeing what P&Z members did back then, just make it crystal clear what you're doing. All right, we have an adopted code of ethics that I want to kind of hit on a few things with. On July 14th, 2025, the City Council, after work through the Ordinance Review Committee, adopted a standard code of ethics for elected and appointed officials. And that was to foster an environment of mutual respect, transparency, public trust. Really what it was about was elected and appointed officials placing the public interest and common good above any private or personal interest, and to treat each other and all claims before them, all matters before them, without any preconceived bias, with respect, all the things that we learned to do when we were in kindergarten, how we're supposed to act with people. Among those things are meeting decorum. Obviously, we need to listen courteously and attentively, whether it's public comment or whether it's discussion. We also want to maintain mutual respect and professional courtesy towards staff and towards fellow members at all times. Sometimes it's easy to get things out of hand when there's something that is really contentious, and we want to make sure that we are being respectful at all times. It also really covers what we already talked about with the Open Meetings Act, meeting decorum and staying on topic, staying on the agenda. That's obviously an exercise of respect to your fellow members and to the public that you're serving, that we stay on topic and we abide by that Open Meetings Act. And specific to this commission's job description, one thing I wanted to highlight is that it would also include evaluating each item that is brought before you on its own merits against the requirements that are set forth by the ordinance and voting accordingly. We see a lot of the same people a lot of the time. And you're not evaluating what they did before, and you're not evaluating what you think they might do in the future. You're evaluating that particular item on the merits set forth by the ordinance and voting in accordance with what the ordinance says is appropriate, and what staff may or may not recommend as an appropriate move. And with this board, and because of the way the legalities are set up, failing to do that can get this board into some issues where things, your decisions get reversed, things get negated. So we want to make sure that we're abiding by that as well. It covers a little bit of the chain of command in that you're both an advisory and regulatory body. You're kind of unique in that. There are some things that you're going to make recommendations for and some things that you're making absolute decisions on. That's a power that you have. It also asks that you interact with city staff through official channels. Nobody on any board or commission, and that includes city council, direct city staff. Everything goes through the city manager. Obviously, this board, you're going to spend a lot more time talking to Mitch and Steven than most people might. But generally, if there's something you need done, it goes through the city manager's office, and the city manager comes to us and tells us what we need to do, and we will get it handled for you. We work for the city manager, who works for city council, and you guys fall under city council as well. So that can also go through your city council liaison, and she can communicate it to the city manager if that needs to happen. Obviously, you're aware you do not speak for the city as an individual body. You do not speak for the city as an individual commissioner. You're not representing the city of Woodway. The body as a whole represents the will of this body. You don't need to use city letterhead. You don't need to communicate on behalf of the board. Everything needs to happen in here by vote. Obviously, when you're expressing personal and public personal opinions publicly, you want to communicate that they are personal opinions. We don't want anyone thinking or quoting the Planning and Zoning Commission on something that is not Planning and Zoning Commission's. There are some caveats in the Code of Ethics for dealing with violations. They involve coming before this board. There are complaints, there are procedures, there are ways to handle that. If there's ever a time in this commission's existence or while you're on it that you feel like something needs to be handled, I encourage you to ask about reading through that code of ethics and pursuing those procedures, and we can work with you on how to get that done. That's not a problem. I have my cards. I'm on the website. You are always welcome to reach out to me via email and just let me know that there's something that we need to talk over. And I will get with the city manager and your council liaison, and we will handle that and let you know what we need to do next. And to wrap up, honestly, like I said, I really just wanted to highlight the importance and value of this commission specifically. You provide the city staff with really clear policy direction, and you ensure that what's in the ordinance and what we want in this city match what is happening in the city. You provide very vetted, highly technical recommendations. You go through some of the really hard stuff and give recommendations to council. And I know that they appreciate that a great deal. But to the community, you guys are the gatekeepers. You guys are the ones that protect them from just random things popping up next door to them and keep this community really as beautiful as it is. I think that's why you were one of the first things that was established when this community came about, and why you were important enough to elevate to charter, and why the state thinks you're important enough to mandate. So that is all I really have for you tonight. I just want to say thank you, introduce myself, and if you ever have any questions, like I said, you are free to reach out to me at any time, and I will send out those trainings again so that you have them.
Perfect. Thank you, Keisha. Much appreciated. That was super helpful to have. In completion of that, we will move on to item number four, which is consider action on the minutes of the June 9th, 2026 regular meeting. Has everybody had a chance to review those? Any discussion?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes for the regular meeting on June 9th, 2026.
Second.
I will call a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any against? That motion passes. I will move on to item number five, discuss and consider action of approval of the preliminary plat for Lot 29, Block 4, Lake Forest Addition, Phase 2 to the City of Woodway, County, Texas, being all of Lot 27, Block 4 of the Lake Forest Addition, Phase 2, as recorded in McLennan County Clerk's Document 20250275443 of the official public records of McLennan County, Texas.
Going to point out the small change that was done to this plat. It's Greg Glimes' property. He plans to build a single-family home on the lot, and it has been platted before, but the change with that piece on the bottom, there we go, yes, that little sliver right there was added on, and this lot here is tract acreage, and so with it incorporating tract acreage, that means you get to go through the whole process again. So to include that little piece where they went through the preliminary plat application process, we are recommending approval. The deficiencies that are in your packets, they took care of those items ahead of the meeting. And so they will, if you vote to approve, they'll turn in the final plat application and on the next plat day. If you have any questions.
Any questions or discussion?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the preliminary plat for Lot 29, Block 4, Lake Forest Addition, Phase 2 to the City of Woodway, McLennan County, Texas, being all of Lot 27, Block 4 of the Lake Forest Addition, Phase 2, as recorded in McLennan County Clerk's Document 20250275443 of the official public records of McLennan County, Texas.
I second the motion.
Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any against? The motion passes unanimously. We will move on to item number six, staff updates. Any staff updates?
Just have one final plat that I'm reviewing right now is the Woodway First Methodist plat, where they're splitting it up and to sell one of the lots there, the Florence Moore edition. And so currently in review, but that'll be coming up at the August 11th meeting to either approve or deny that.
Could you speak up just a little bit?
Sure. No, I'll speak into that a little. There we go. So the Florence Moore edition final plat was turned in last week, and so it's under review currently, and I'll get it'll come to the August 11th meeting. And that's the only update I have right now.
Great. Seeing that, I will consider an action on adjournment.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing that, the motion passes. The meeting is adjourned at 5:38 p.m.